You're listening to the Recovered Life Show, the show that helps people in recovery live their best recovered lives. And here is your host, Damon Frank.
And welcome back to the Recovered Life Show. So glad to be joining everybody today and really pleased to welcome my guest, Jolene Atkinson. Jolene is a clinical social worker and certified life coach. She's located in Davenport, Iowa, and has a company called LifeWell Coaching. Welcome to the show, Jolene.
Hi, Damon. It's good to meet you. Good to be here with you.
So great to see you on the show. This is your first appearance, and I'm thrilled about our topic today. You know, we've wanted to do some stuff about money. Jolene, we were chatting a little bit before we hit the record button here today, and I told you that, you know, in recovery, money is a huge thing. I mean, people go out and relapse over money. People actually end up sometimes coming into recovery because of money. So we wanted to talk about how we really create a positive mindset regarding money in our recovery.
Awesome.
So let's dive into it a little bit. You know, you have a unique perspective because you deal with people, you know, from a therapy standpoint and also a life coaching standpoint, and you've dealt with people that are in recovery. What are some of the common things that you see where people, you know, Jolene, might not have a great relationship and a great mindset around money?
You know, we're not oftentimes taught about taking care of our money in general. So if you add the challenges of addiction on top of that, it certainly can complicate that. So I think having a positive mindset around money is so key in terms of helping you recover financially and helping you deal with the stresses around our money and potential debts and problems that it's caused for us.
You know, it's interesting because I find money is definitely the top three things that people are most concerned about. I've never been in a 12-step environment, sponsored anybody, done any accountability coaching for anybody that money hasn't been on their top three, right? And you know, there's even a term for it in the recovery community. It's like, you know, financial insecurity, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a huge driver. It caused a lot of worry. You know, I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who's in recovery yesterday. We were both talking about that, Jolene. It's just such it's a common thing. Why do you think this rattles people so much? You know, because really, typically I found that things work out at the end of the day, right? You know, but yeah. Why is this such a hot button issue for people?
Well, truth be told, you know, money is necessary for our survival. It's our way of, you know, compensating for our needs in our life. So it's kind of like, you know, if you think about somebody who's trying to be healthy and they're eating, you can't go without eating. You know, you can't go without money. So it's such an essential piece. And, you know, we all come with ideas about what money means to us. We're taught from our parents by the words they use, by the example they set in their behavior. We learn about what money means in our cultural environment. So there's so many messages that we may develop unconsciously just from, you know, early childhood. So those messages become pretty deeply ingrained, and sometimes we're aware of them, and sometimes it's completely unconscious how it plays a role. But we can't exist without money. So all of those things come together to create our mindset about money. And if we don't take care of it, our mindset and our money, it can cause such devastating effects.
You know, and I know most of the people who've come in, I know I had this experience when, you know, 30 years ago when I came into the whole sobriety journey. I had just total financial wreckage. You know, I was in my late 20s and it was like things were leaving every day, I felt, right? Like just, it was very, very, very tough. And then the whole process of getting sober takes a lot of time and a lot of emotional energy. But through that process, I learned that my relationship with alcohol, like how I thought about alcohol, Jolene, totally different than my fellows, right? Totally different from you know, other friends that I had that weren't alcoholics. And I soon kind of made the link, hey, how I also think about money isn't necessarily healthy either. And I started to kind of put those two together. Like, hey, you know what? I have to change my mindset in regards to how I look at money and how I look at, you know, where the source of how that is being created.
I oftentimes talk with people about money being like a relationship and to consider it that way. And we think about it's just an exchange for goods and services. But truthfully, our culture, we have a relationship with money. So if you think about it and consider kind of what your relationship is like with money, do you ignore it? You have no idea where your money is at, how much you have or how much you're spending. So is it neglectful in that kind of relationship? Do you have gratitude and show gratitude for the money that you have? Are you frivolous around it, irresponsible in your relationship with money? Is it something that you show respect in that relationship? Do you value your relationship with money and what it provides for you? So that's just a context that I think is a really helpful frame to consider, because it's not just a piece of paper. It's not just a plastic card. It's how you relate to the money that you earn, how you relate to the money that you spend, and how you relate to the money that you save. So I think that's a really helpful perspective to consider. What's your relationship like with money?
Yeah, you know, now we're going to go a little deeper here, Jolene, because you're really tapping on it. Because one of the things that I noticed, because I'm a big fan of modeling, looking at what's working for other people and then copying what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Just literally. And at first, you know, for me, the game was really early on is to find these people who are doing it. I was very lucky. You know, I had people in my life that were, you know, they were very successful. They were in recovery. They were in, you know, one person I still have a relationship with today, you know, and, you know, he's taking a chip for 35 years. He had 5 years at the time that I met him and, you know, was my sponsor. Shout out to Kevin, if he's out there listening to this. And, you know, and he put me around other men specifically that were at all different levels, right? And I started to realize something very interesting. And I'd love your thought as a therapist on this one. I met people who were millionaires that had financial insecurity. And then I met people who were homeless, Jolene, who weren't, I'm not going to say they were fine without having money, but they were not as worried with the people that had the resources. And I started to realize, I said, something's going on here. This isn't really about the money. You were talking about the relationship. The money isn't really creating the fear. So what else is creating this fear?
So it's your mindset. I mean, that's just the spot, you know, it's spot on right there. Do you approach your financial situation from a scarcity mindset and from where you're afraid of losing it, or you're holding on so tight that you're not spending it? It's that scarcity and fear that drives the relationship. Or is it an abundant mindset? I have what I need. What I need will come to me. Thinking about it from the perspective of, you know, I have a positive relationship with money. I take care of it. That's an abundant mindset. So you can have, you know, a broke perspective and have lots and lots of money, or you can have an abundant mindset where it's the thinking around, I know how to take care of what I have.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We have a guy that has been on the Recovered Life Show very early on when we started the podcast, Jolene. His name's Kevin. He's a mindfulness and meditation guide, and he's been in my life for a long time. And anytime that I've had financial insecurity and I've called him, he's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm worried about this, or I'm worried about that, or I'm expanding my business and, you know, I've got to come up with X amount to be able to do that. And he always kind of chuckles a little bit. And he says, you know, Damon, he said, you, a lot of the times you look at financial issues as a people, place, thing, and institution. You believe that is your source, but that's not your source. So you get so locked on that as well, it's got to be this client or this job or this project or this investment that you're doing. And it really has nothing to do with that. And, you know, and he always laughs. He goes, this is a spiritual game. This really isn't, this is nothing to do. And he says, if you lock on to people, places, things, and institutions as being your source, if anything happens with those, then your prosperity mindset evaporates and you now have nothing. But he's like, you know, for you, God's your source, you know, because I'm somebody who believes in God and, you know, and, you know, you need to look there. It's beyond the people, places, and things. How, you know, do you find that to be an issue? Like people are so myopic at just locking on to say, hey, you know what? Like, it's got to be this way or no way.
Well, I think what came to my mind as I'm listening to you is the idea of attachment and in looking at it from the perspective of, are you attached to the money? Are you attached to how it comes to you? You know, is the perspective of it that, well, if I don't have it, if I don't have this account or I don't have this business or I don't have this item, your attachment is to that, you lose your perspective. You lose your ability to be in abundance, to be prosperous in your thinking. Like you were saying, it's not myopic. It allows you to be open and expansive in your view. I don't mean to get like too woo about, you know, that, but I do think when we get so attached, it locks us up.
Well, this is an interesting thing. And I love that you use the word attachment because, you know, there's a lot of talk in the recovery community about letting go of the outcome, like where it starts to happen. And, you know, with, in my experience, it's hard to see in yourself, you know, like I always say, like, I never really see any growth in myself. It's usually being around other people who point it out. Then I become aware of it. Now I can see the growth in other people very easily. Right. And it's interesting, Jolie, because when I finally get to a place where I unwrestle myself with the control of the outcome,
yeah,
that's really when the blessing happens, right? How do you do that though? Because there's a lot of people out that are listening to this that are saying, man, yeah, damn it. You don't get it. I'm stuck. Like I'm 3 months late on my rent check. Everybody's after me, right? Like, and it's got to turn out this way or that's it for me.
So rephrase your question for me, if you would.
Well, what I want to know from you is like, and give the perspective of for the listener, is how do you start to let go of the control of that? How do you start to let go of the outcome?
Yeah.
And to start unpinning from that so other things can start coming in your life?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And I would respond to that by just kind of looking at mindfulness, and which is awareness, and intentionality, looking at being focused on purpose and knowing what it is that's important to focus upon. And going back to what you talked about earlier in terms of if you only see one path, right, you miss out on what can be around you and what you can notice and be aware of. So knowing how you are thinking about money, how you talk to yourself about your money history and the money narrative, the story you have about, you know, what's going to happen to you if you don't have enough, or what solutions are possible to you. If you get stuck on that one view or that narrative, like I'm not good with money, this is a problem for me. And it narrows your view into how you might expand and find solutions.
Yeah, I think this whole idea of being open, not taking everything, like I've had that experience learning when to say no, but learning to be open about the outcome. Because, you know, two things I've learned, you know, in my recovery, I've had successful businesses and, you know, have built successful businesses. And one of the things that I've, it's always happened in a way that I didn't expect it to happen. It typically was not my plan that actually created the success, right? And I think one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, and this is an interesting thing. I was telling somebody the other day, Jolene, it's like I had spent, I think about like 15 years ago, I spent 6 months trying to learn a particular part of marketing for a business that it was. And I literally had my head handed to me. I could not make that successful. And when I put my mind to something, I make it successful typically. I could not make that thing successful. And I was so bewildered by it. I learned a ton of skills though. And then literally 15 years later, all of a sudden I'm given this opportunity where those skills that I had invested in 15 years later were like, that is exactly what I needed in order to become successful. And it was this thing that I worked on was wildly successful. Mm-hmm. And I learned something with that. It was like, you know what? Like, I can't be so judgmental about like the process of it all, right? Like, what do you feel people's job is? Like, because everybody I know in recovery is like, all right, now I'm sober for a while. I've got all this wreckage. What's my role in it? How do I get into action? What do I need to do if I'm at zero and I have a horrible relationship with money and things are falling down? What are the initial steps that I need to take like right now to make that work?
So I think I'm going to answer that question from this perspective. There's two things. One is that there's some practical skills, going back to what you were talking about in that experience years ago. There are skills involved with managing your money. And that's one component. And then the other component is your mindset around it. So knowing how you think about money and that relationship with money is important. So take a two-prong approach. One is you have to educate yourself about finances, and you address your own stuff by first of all being aware of where you're at. So if you have, $10 in the bank, you need to know that. Some people have more than that. You know, it isn't always just a zero balance, but to know what is your income, what are your assets, to know where your spending is at. I often will start with people about creating a diary daily of what it is you're spending money on, just so you have that awareness, because without that awareness, you're wandering around blindly, right? So that's the beginning point, is just knowing. And you use the word judgment, and that's such a valuable word from the perspective of understanding and catching yourself when you're doing that, so that you can be aware and recognize how are you talking to yourself about money, which is your thoughts, right? And being aware of it, not necessarily from a shame-based perspective, but from a curious perspective, looking at it from like, well, how, okay, here's where all my money is, being curious, here's where I'm spending it. And then secondly, look at budgeting. And that's a word that I know for myself, I'm like, I don't want to budget. That sucks. That's really restrictive. It's, I'm either going to succeed or I'm going to fail. It's that all or nothing thinking that comes in my mind with budgeting. And the last thing I want to do is like pigeonhole myself into all or nothing thinking. That's just not helpful. But I did that with budgeting. So I had to kind of break that open and look at it from, well, how is budgeting? How can I approach this in a way that I have the least amount of resistance when I think about a budget? And it's very basic. What are my needs? Rent, food, clothing, and medical care. Those are things that are my needs. And then my wants. What are the things that I desire? Well, if I enjoy going out to eat, or if I enjoy buying something that might be luxurious, to separate that out. And budgeting first and foremost for what are my needs. And I would put your debt within that category. Taking care of that financial wreckage that may have happened is, again, you're not going to clear that out. It didn't happen in a day. You're not going to clear it out in a day. But if you're looking at it from the mindset of, I suck, I'm a horrible person, I have all this debt, I'm never going to get out of this, it's just going to keep you spinning in that emotional garbage. But if on the other hand, you know, here's what my debt is, I'm $7,000 in debt, or I'm $20,000 in debt, and you look at it from a budgeting point of view of, okay, this is solvable. And if you need help from a professional, get it. They're, you know, having allies that help you through this, whether it's your mindset or the practical skills of managing finances, get that support. So lay that budget out there and develop a plan. And then I think one of the biggest challenges is practicing the skill of keeping your word to yourself. So if one of the, I think, hard things with addiction is we lose trust in others and we lose trust in ourselves. And developing that muscle and building and strengthening that muscle of keeping your word to yourself is really important. And not just with money, but with recovery overall and sustaining that recovery, so important. So use that and apply the skill of trustworthiness and developing that with yourself as it comes to following your budget. Another trap, I guess, that would trip people up is if I develop a budget, it's like written in stone. And I would suggest that doesn't have to be the case. You create a budget with your first an iteration of it, and you evaluate it. Evaluate it from the perspective of not the narrative of I suck with money, but from the perspective of, okay, what's working? Where have I kept my word to myself? You know, have I met my needs in terms of my finances? What didn't work? I always start with what worked because we so quickly move beyond that. Whenever I ask people, you know, clients about what, you know, let's evaluate this, what's working, they might tell me one thing and then can give me a list of 20 things that they think is not working. So shifting that balance, what's working, you know, how are you following your plan? What's not working? And then the third question, what would I like? What do I want to do different? That keeps you out of that black and white, written in stone kind of mentality. I think that flexibility in budgeting is really important to evaluate. Pay attention to your successes, acknowledge those, and talk to yourself with kindness around your budget.
You
It's a
know, I
really
love
long
this.
answer to that question.
No, this is good. And why I love this so much is that I'm just thinking of myself through the recovery process and life, right? And where was I in 6 months, a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, right? Like thinking through. And you said something early on that I want to tap on here is about awareness. And I think this is a big thing. Like the interesting thing that I've noticed about recovery is it really preps you for dealing with other issues. One is because if you're able to get sober, you're able to take on emotional pain and weather through it. That's one huge thing I've noticed, right, Julie? Like
For sure.
nothing to people who aren't in recovery. You know, they're tough too, but people that are in recovery that have recovered, that have long-term recovery specifically, or have done it for 6 months, a year even. You can handle some stuff, right? You
For
really
sure.
can't. Like, we don't give ourselves credit for really the amount of stuff that we're able to handle, right? But you said this thing about awareness. How, like, originally I had to become aware that I had an alcohol problem. The same thing, I have to become aware that maybe I have a financial issue. And being able to look at that, and I know there's people that are listening to this, because this was me, stacks of bills, not opening them up. I don't want to know what's on the credit card. I don't want to know what's in my bank account, you know, from a negative side. And I don't want to know because it's too scary. But what I love that you're talking about is that when you can get past that little bit, and it is scary, like let's acknowledge it, right, Jolene? It's terrifying. But when you get past that, when you could put it into a process, because you could have the awareness, but no process, and it's not going to work. You need a process, right? Once you have that awareness, you have now the process. Putting it into the process is really what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, having that a plan, and you can't create a plan if you don't know where your starting point is. You know, without direction, we wander aimlessly. So if you have that stack of unopened bills, you're not aware of even where your beginning point is. But if you can push yourself past that fear and anxiety about what might be there, because we're going to conjure up a way bigger story about what that's going to be like than what reality is probably going to be. You know, we have a great imaginative brain. And so if you can kind of calm that down a little bit enough to open it up and look at it, so then you know where to begin. You know where your start point is. And creating that plan is key, because then you're not just wandering around having it all pile back up again.
Well, it's interesting when you actually start to know, I had a situation in my life where I had a friend who owed a lot of money to the IRS and he was just running from it, right? Just running literally on a dead sprint from it. And when he finally got mustered up the courage to find out what was going on, Jolene, I'm telling you, it was a high amount of money. It was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But at the end of the day, he didn't realize that there was a thing called offer and compromise, because where he was at, okay, when he made the money and where he was at now financially wasn't it. And it ended up being a couple of thousand dollars. And he was able to like walk away from it. But the years that it tortured him to be able to do that just by not looking at it, right, was horrible. And I want you to talk a little bit about this with people listening to this and say, okay, I'm kind of in this, Jolene, a little bit. I've looked at it. I'm starting to work some of the stuff that you're talking about, but I'm having a hard time rebuilding my credit, paying back taxes, student loan debt, all that other kind of stuff. Can I slow this down and stop it? I've got the right mindset now, but what do I do now that I've got the mindset and the awareness?
Well, I'll emphasize I'm not a financial advisor. So, but I do think that there are resources available there to help people really get a plan laid out and to be able to create that day-by-day structure to help just take that next step and then the following step. To be able to approach it from a solution perspective, I think is really valuable. We get caught up in, oh, I made this mistake. Oh, I messed that up, or I'm avoiding this. Okay, let's look at it and take responsibility for it. But it doesn't help to beat yourself up in shame or to wallow in that isn't valuable, because it just keeps you out of the problem-solving perspective. And so once you have that awareness and you can take responsibility for the things that happen to get you to this point, that's what frees you up then. Taking that responsibility then frees you up for looking at solutions. And again, if it's hiring a, or seeking free consultation, with debt relief agencies, for example, if that's necessary, to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I love this whole idea of becoming clear and then taking action. I don't know if you found this, Jolene, in your practice, but I know with working with men with accountability coaching and just working with them and helping take them from, not a great place in the recovery to really thriving. What I found is that there's a common thread here. And this is in finances as well. And that is, there's a great amount of time spent with people in recovery, Jolene, that are unhappy because they're not getting what they want. But at the end of the day, when really pushed, they have no idea what they want. So really, they're spending 80% of their emotional energy through the day unhappy that they're not getting something that they don't know that they want, if that makes sense.
It
They're
totally does,
literally,
yeah.
it's insanity, right? Like, and it's interesting. Like, when I woke up from that, I was like, going, oh my God, this is just insanity. Like, I think clarity is the game changer here, don't you? Because, like, when you get clear about what you want to have happen, then the choices that you start making hey, I'm not going to go to Starbucks. Like, you know, I'm somebody who, you know, before the pandemic, I had big offices and all that kind of stuff. And I would go to Starbucks every day and go to lunch every day. Then when we couldn't go to the office because of the pandemic and all of my, you know, employees work remotely, I started to realize, like, how come I have this extra money at the end of the month? Yeah. It's choices, yeah. Right? So now that I have this awareness, I could start making choices. What do you feel, Jolene? What do you think is possible for people? Because I think this is a great conversation, because so many people think, not me, man. Not that, yeah, you're talking about Bob and Sue and whatever. You're not really mm-hmm. talking about me. I've never been good with money. You know, I'm now in my 40s, let's say. I'm not good with money now. It's never going to change for me. What would you tell those people who are thinking that?
Well, I think that's exactly the place where a mind shift is needed. Because, I mean, we can not me all day long, but still in the end of the day, having responsibility for your money is important. And, you know, you were saying something earlier about how, you know, what's possible for people and can you believe what's possible? One of the exercises that I walk my clients through is, you know, first of all, having that awareness and gaining that clarity on where you're at with finances. What is your financial situation? An exercise I love to walk them through is a visualization about what do you want about, you know, what do you want with your money? What are your goals? And be really specific. What do you want to earn? What do you want to save? What do you want to spend your money on? And to really dream and visualize about that, whether it's a small step or a grand step, to put yourself in that imagination of what it could be like. So to challenge that, I'm always just going to be bad with money. I don't believe that 100%, because that's a choice you make. You can choose to stay in that mindset and thinking, or you can choose to be open up to alternatives. And that, that thought of possibility is really valuable. And if, again, kind of going back to, if you don't have a plan, you don't know what destination, you don't know what the destination is, how are you going to get there? So visualizing that possibility of improving your skills and improving your trust in yourself, educating yourself about money, knowing that that's possible it requires you to shift your thinking.
You know, I'm so with you on that. I'm a see it, feel it, do it guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I've learned in my life that those three things have to happen. I have to be able to see it. I have to be able to kind of imagine what that would be. Then I have to kind of feel that experience. Well, what would it feel like if everything was on auto debit? I remember the time that I decided I'm no longer going to pay my bills this way. I'm not going to, like, oh, the credit card dues bill then and then. I'm going to just make sure I have X amount of money and I'm going to let that go, because it will just auto debit it. I already know what I'm going to do. I've already committed to what I'm doing. I already have the plan. I don't need to revisit the plan. And it was so freeing for me financially, because I was like, wow, you know what? Like, this is a big step for me, because I can relax that the plan I know is working and that I don't have to bring that energy and fuel that energy of not enoughness, even if I have it. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, oh, I got to pay that card then or whatever. It just happened. And I could just focus on what I wanted to create in my life, not necessarily, you know, I just need to know I needed to create X amount mm-hmm. per month. I could break free from that. I didn't have to deal with that as much. You know, I'd love to hear from you kind of, you know, in closing here, Jolene, who are the people who end up digging their way out of this? And who are the people who are not? Who don't do it? Who are the people who stay stuck and the people who don't stay stuck?
I think that those folks who fall on the spectrum of black and white thinking, that all or nothing, I think those are folks who stay stuck. And people who are able to see there's a continuum of color and it doesn't have to be all one way or all the other. Because if you can get out of that all or nothing thinking, you open yourself up to solutions. You open yourself up to being free from the worry. You open yourself up to knowing that I just don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be anxious. I can find abundance, even if I don't, if I'm not wealthy. You can, you know, so I would say that's how I would answer that question initially. It's just that all or nothing thinking really traps people.
I love that. Final thoughts, Jolene, anything you'd like to add before we end the episode?
Well, I think, you know, just to kind of summarize the mindset and relationship that you have with your finances is key. You know, how you relate to people, how we have a relationship with other people can be mirrored in our relationship with money, because how you do one thing tends to be how you do all things. So as you take care of your relationship with money, beginning with your awareness, and then secondly, with being intentional about your plan and shifting your mindset to support you in being successful in your relationship with money, I think those things are key.
Such a great episode. Thank you, guys. We're going to put a link to how you can get in touch with Jolene Atkinson and find out more information about her business, Life Well Coaching. We're going to put those all in the show notes. And thank you so much. This has been such a great episode. Yeah. And you know what I really hope, Jolene, is that people who are in total financial terror, a lot of insecurity, listen to this and get a little peace out of it, that things can change in their life.
Yeah, my wish would be hopefulness and optimism, if I could grant that to your listeners. And it doesn't have to be a full cup of hopefulness. Just to begin to fill that up a little bit in them. There is a way to make progress. There is a way to gain an abundant mindset.
Love this. Jolene, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for asking me to be here. Thank you.
Sometimes addiction recovery can be a lonely battle, but you don't have to fight it alone. At Recovered Life, we're dedicated to helping you live your best recovered life. And that's why we're inviting you to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. Every week, we carefully curate exclusive content from leading minds in addiction recovery, mental health, and all things important to the recovery lifestyle. Stay in the know with the latest news about addiction and get exclusive invitations to special recovery-focused events and explore insights tailored to support recovery from alcoholism, drug addiction, codependency, disordered eating, dysfunctional family dynamics, gambling, and so much more. With our newsletter, each week becomes an opportunity for growth, healing, and taking a step closer to the life you deserve. Take your first step towards a brighter future today. Go to recoveredlife.us and subscribe for free. Sign up now at recoveredlife.us.